TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and scorenorth.com.
Yes, I thought the Lions did a good job in coverage. They were doing a good job taking away some things down the field, and you have to go where your reads take you, and then those guys have to make plays too. And Dalvin did on the linebacker and man coverage, and Amir obviously did on the screen, and we had a couple runs that hit as well. So it was a nice combination of plays to get down there, and again to get seven instead of three.
Morning. I think it was a big deal. Oh, what a beautiful day.
There's more where that came from on today's episode of Purple Daily. Doesn't a beautiful singing voice like that from the star quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings make you want to just kick back and crack a Corona Hard Seltzer and find your favorite musical on Netflix, Declan?
I really need a couple of Corona Hard Seltzers if I was in the crowd or I had to listen to that for numerous amount of time.
It's not that bad.
It's bad. It's not good. It's pretty painful, dude.
What do you
it's
mean?
Pretty
no.
painful. You sound like a Kirk Cousins defender now. You
he
sound
might
like
be,
the guy that
I
rip
might
us.
Be as a singer. You I might be like, a Cousins defender
like
as a singer.
Same guys that rip us every
what
week.
What if this is his career?
We need a Zolgad column. Rip him for the voice,
double,
too.
Double column
what
Zolgad.
What if he Praise missed him. His calling?
No.
It was to be a singer.
No. Judd, here's your column. Zolgad colon. Kirk Cousins, one of the best in the NFL, .. And then once they're in, .. At singing musicals. But as a quarterback, here's why he's garbage.
I'm going to tell you right
Thousand
now.
Words.
Nice pitch.
I'm going to tell you right now, Kirk Cousins should star in a local version of Grease, which Declan can then go get his
feels.
Drink and watch.
I'm throwing interceptions.
All right, yeah, this month and every month throughout the year, discover Corona Hard Seltzer. Kirk, discover Corona Hard Seltzer. It's the only hard seltzer made with pure beach vibes with a refreshing splash of fruit flavors such as tropical lime, mango cherry, and blackberry lime. Corona Hard Seltzer is a tasty spike sparkling water with a splash of natural fruit flavor that allows you to enjoy the moment in each can. Corona Hard Seltzer has zero carbs, zero sugar, 90 calories, and is gluten-free. Relax responsibly. Corona Hard Seltzer spikes sparkling water with natural flavors imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Football.
Cook and the block, and a block in there by Dozier, and he is down inside the one, but shy.
Morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
We're gonna break down the singing of our guy Kirk later in the episode here, but welcome to Purple Daily, Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad, and Declan Goff. On a podcast, it's Apple, Spotify, and ScoreNorth.com, and also the brand new PodMN app, which is free to download in the Apple and Google Play stores if you want to discover other local Minnesota podcasts, and YouTube.com/Purple Daily Podcast. So today is Purple Positivity Thursday, which we're going to get to. And I'll tell you, Purple Positivity Thursday started off like 3 or 4 weeks ago as, well, this team sucks. We should just find a way to brighten things up around here, right?
Yeah.
And now it's like, wait a second. If they beat the Bears, Purple Positivity Thursday is going to be Purple Positivity Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. So we'll get to Purple Positivity Thursday. But I want to start you guys off with this question, because Dalvin Cook, we're sitting here halfway through the season. He leads the NFL in rushing yards, leads the NFL in rushing touchdowns. He's missed a game even, and he still leads the NFL. He's been arguably the most productive offensive skill position player in the NFL. So Judd Zolgad, Declan, I want you to answer this too. Should Dalvin Cook...
No, Declan should not be.
I'm not MVP.
No, he's not
most
the MVP.
Most improved player, if that.
So should Dalvin Cook... We already know Declan's the MVP producer. Should Dalvin Cook be considered for NFL MVP?
First of all, before I get to that, I just came up with a brilliant casting call. Cousins, Thielen, Rudy in Grease. Like, would that, are they not the most, is that, would that,
which guy,
Grease
which,
Lightning?
Which guy plays the Switchblade guy, the villain guy? Probably Adam, right?
He's a little Adam, edgy. Detroit Lakes
Actually,
guy, too, sort of the outcast.
Rudolph's got tattoos. I don't know.
Yeah, but he's a Notre Dame guy. I don't think he can play that role. I'm just telling you, those three in a Vikings production of Grease would be outstanding.
Little jazz hands.
Yes, exactly right.
And then
Rudolph, West Side Story after that.
Rudolph with the yellow gloves doing the jazz hands.
Forget football. Let's put them in place. All right.
I'm here for it.
The answer to your question off the top of my head is absolutely yes. Dalvin Cook defines what, and look, there's 8 games left. We're not done. We're not close to being done. But if you look at the definition, I believe, of what an MVP is, Dalvin Cook defines it. If you take Dalvin Cook off this roster, I think the Vikings have probably still right now about 1 win. I think they beat Houston. Green Bay, they do not beat Green Bay. And Detroit
they probably
would
beat Detroit.
Be iffy. But, okay, 2 wins. But the point is, Dalvin Cook in all 3 games that the Vikings have won has gone over 100 yards rushing. He had, I believe, 4 total touchdowns against the Packers in Green Bay. And then he had a career-high 206 yards rushing against Detroit and was absolutely dominant. All right. So I think the answer to your question is he should be considered. I think he needs to be in the conversation. But the piece that I wrote for ScoreNorth.com that you can still find a couple days ago is this. He has no chance. He has history tells us that Dalvin Cook, unless he absolutely goes out of his mind statistically, which I don't think he is. Right, but unless he does, continues to. And even then, I think he has no chance. Because since 2000, there have been 21 MVPs named. MVPs, okay. There were 2, Peyton Manning and Steve McNair shared it in 2003. So that accounts for 21 instead of 20. 17 of them have been quarterbacks. The last non-quarterback to win the award was Adrian Peterson in 2012, but he went over 2,000 yards.
Dalvin's on pace for like 1850 right now.
Which is great, but I'm telling you, that was 2012. Since then, 7 quarterbacks have won the MVP award. I think in 2020, if you look at what Mahomes and Wilson and a collection of QBs are doing, the thought process is, who is your MVP for 2020, and is it Mahomes? Is it Wilson? Is it Rodgers? So
Rodgers.
I don't think that Dalvin Cook right now has a chance to be in the discussion, which is why I think that there needs to be a change in the approach of this award. And let me be clear, too, because the AP has an MVP award, and then the AP also has what they call the National Football League Offensive and Defensive Player of the Year Award, which nobody really cares about, okay? Why not go to a system? Because quarterback play, just in sports, forget football, now is so important, and it's deemed, and that's correct, it's deemed to be, I think, the most important position in all of sports. Why not go to an MVP-type system where the quarterbacks all vie for their own award, and then everybody else, defensive players, offensive players, if you're a non-quarterback, you vie for an MVP. Because I think if we at least went down that path, Dalvin Cook should have, and in that case, has a really good chance.
I kind of like that idea because in your favorite sport, hockey, there's a goaltending award, and then there's essentially a most valuable skater award, right? Does the goaltender ever win both?
Ooh. I don't think so. I think for the most part, no.
Because in this case, you would just separate the two
awards. And Cy Young is sort of the same ordinarily, right?
Kind of, but you could, like, there have been instances where you've won both, right?
There have been goalies that have won the Hart Award. Carey Price did it 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
But it's pretty rare.
But it does create a separation, and I think football needs to go a step beyond that to create an MVP for non-quarterbacks, and then you know what? Let Rodgers and Wilson and Mahomes and that whole group, let them vie for their own MVP award.
So I brought some data to the table that I want to bring to you guys. But Declan, so Judd mentioned the last running back to win MVP was Adrian Peterson in 2012. So you had to have the combination there of the running back is putting up ridiculous numbers, and the perception / reality is that because of those ridiculous numbers, he's carrying a team higher than they would have been, right? Sean Alexander and LaDainian Tomlinson won back-to-back MVPs as running backs in 05 and 06. And then if you go back to like the 90s into the early 2000s, Marshall Faulk, Terrell Davis, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, Thurman Thomas, a bit of a different era in the 90s where you had a lot more star running backs that were carrying the ball 300, 350, almost 400 times. And the usage was higher for those guys. So do you think he should be in the mix for the actual MVP award, including quarterbacks?
I think he should, because everything starts with him. That's what I've always kind of said about Dalvin Cook, and we learned that when he was out earlier this year. If you don't have him, that team is just, they're flat. They don't know what to do. So he is physically carrying them to wins, and this defense is obviously not very good. So if Dalvin Cook's removed from the equation, the Vikings, maybe have a win. maybe, or maybe they're winless. So I think Dalvin absolutely belongs in the discussion, because I think the same argument of, well, if you take away Pat Mahomes, how good are the Chiefs? Or you take away Russell Wilson, how disastrous are the Seahawks? I still think that logic applies to Dalvin Cook. So, yes, he definitely belongs in the conversation.
So, yeah. So, and that those are the two paths that I want to just highlight here, is that you've got what the writers are going to perceive, right? Because this is an Associated Press.
Yes.
This is a writer's award. So,
correct.
It's what the writers are going to perceive. And then there's the other path, which is how valuable are players actually, like quantifiably valuable? How valuable are players to winning? And on the first track, which is more like it's a subjective vote, it's sort of, well, Adrian Peterson ran for 2,000 yards and they have a crappy quarterback and they barely snuck into the playoffs. If not for Adrian Peterson, this team doesn't make the playoffs. And that happens to be true in 2012. So some of this is going to revolve around if the Vikings can get to the playoffs and Dalvin Cook does this and brings them to an 8-8 or 9-7 finish, I think the perception of all of it would probably give him votes. Like, I think if they make the playoffs and he flirts with 2,000 yards and puts up these numbers, I think he'll get consideration. But then the other side of this coin is, if you want to get into like quantifying value, I know Pro Football Focus does wins above replacement. I don't think they have those results public yet. We should get our guy Eric Eager on at some point to see if he can quantify this. But I was curious. I went and searched the internet for sports handicappers and people in Vegas that are adjusting point spreads based on quarterbacks and other players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sports handicapper named Jimmy Boyd. Hey, Jimmy, what's the spread on that game, Jimmy? So Jimmy Boyd wrote an article last year about player values in the NFL and how each player impacts Vegas betting lines. And he has four different categories. He has elite quarterbacks, non-elite quarterbacks, which I would put Kirk Cousins in that group. I think there's another category there of like crappy quarterbacks, but he just says elite quarterbacks, non-elite quarterbacks, offensive skill position players, so wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, and defensive players. He's got elite quarterbacks being worth 5 to 7 points against the spread. So if you went like Tom Brady, well, last week's Tom Brady wouldn't be worth 7 points to the spread, but if you went Pat Mahomes down to Matt Moore, the line would probably move like 7 points. That's what this is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Non-elite quarterbacks are worth 3 to 4 points. So if you go from Kirk Cousins to Sean Mannion, the line probably moves from, you know, Vikings a 3-point favorite to a pick 'em. Offensive skill position players are worth 0.5 to 2.5 points at the peak. And then defensive players are 0.5 to 1 point, because as we've seen with the Vikings, defense is more about a system and it's more about a collective group of 11 than it is about one dominant player. So what this tells me is the best offensive skill position players are worth 2.5 points to the spread. Non-elite quarterbacks like Cousins are worth 3 to 4 points. So Dalvin Cook, to me, is about as valuable as like Kirk Cousins in a normal, like if you take Kirk Cousins over the course of 16 games, he's probably been less than that this year because of the 10 interceptions.
Sure.
But it's short of the top quarterbacks.
Sure.
So as great as Dalvin Cook is playing, his value to winning and his value to a point spread in this case isn't on the same level as like a Russell Wilson, a Pat Mahomes, or like a, what Josh Allen's been doing this year with the Bills. So from that perspective, analytically, the answer is no. But if the Vikings can make the playoffs because Dalvin Cook put the team on his back and goes for 2,000, and we're looking at what the writers would say, the answer is yes on that side for me.
And take the perception now of what you just gave me, and let's factor in the perception of the position, and it's more. It's more, and I'm not even saying that this is a terrible thing. I'm just saying that, in my opinion, it's time to accept the fact that the quarterback, somewhat accurately and also just based on the position itself, is going to be valued very, very differently. And that if you take Dalvin Cook and Mahomes and say, choose, everybody, and I don't blame them, is going to say Mahomes. So I'm just thinking, let's go a step beyond this whole, you are the NFL Offensive Player of the Year, congratulations.
Yeah.
And let's just call these what I think people will deem to be more significant, which is MVP for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the candidates. Because this is not, I don't think, Phil, going to change. Like, I don't think we're going to get to 2026 and say, do you remember back in 2019 when quarterbacks were really important?
Yeah, no, they're...
It's only going to gradually increase, which is fine. But I think if you were to call both of the awards MVPs in their own right, it's giving people their due more so that a Dalvin Cook, who's having an off-the-charts great year, can realistically be in a conversation without us saying, well, he should be, but he probably won't be.
So if we had a non-quarterback MVP award, who would be the candidates this season? I think Dalvin Cook would lead the pack.
Right now, I think he would, yeah.
I've got a list here I'll throw at you guys.
Okay.
I think it's Dalvin Cook. I think Stephon Diggs is number two.
He's up there.
He's leading the NFL in receptions, receiving yards.
Fair enough.
And he's just a huge reason why that Bills offense has taken a step forward. Derrick Henry probably deserves some consideration, even though Dalvin Cook is the better running back this season. Other wide receivers, you could make a case for DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona, and maybe even DK Metcalf in the breakout. He leads the NFL with like 8 touchdown receptions. Two defenders I would put on that list are probably Aaron Donald, always, yeah. And T.J. Watt is having an insane season for Pittsburgh this year. He's like second in the league in pressures behind Aaron Donald.
How the hell are those brothers always so good?
I don't know.
One of them's always great.
Just chewing grass on the pasture right. And rushing the
quarterback. But it'd be fun to talk about, like debate it.
Yeah, so it would probably be, I mean, it would probably be Pat Mahomes and Dalvin Cook would be your two winners of this award this season. So I say, what are we naming it? Is it the Adrian? Is it named after Adrian?
No, it won't be named after Adrian Peterson. You have to go away today. The Jim Brown Award. How about the Jim Brown Award? Okay. The Gale Sayers. Yeah. Something like that. Go old school.
Could get with that.
Does that sound fair?
I like it.
I like it too. I like it too.
I dig it.
Should we get to some purple positivity here, boys?
Yes.
It's Purple Positivity Thursday.
Football.
Let's fire up some appropriate music here. Sure. Judd Zulgad, you start us off. Well, we say positive things about the Vikings every Thursday. We go around the room and shower them with praise.
Purple positivity number one from me. Linebacker Eric Wilson is the only player in the National Football League with at least 3 interceptions and more than 1 sack. He has 2.5 sacks. I will add on to that by saying, and this is where the Vikings get kudos, okay? This is where the Vikings deserve a lot of credit. Wilson, undrafted free agent out of Cincinnati in 2017, or in other words, signed after going undrafted 2 years after safety Anthony Harris, who's become very good, was also signed undrafted. These are not only really, really nice finds, like really good finds, but they are guys that you take as, I guess, balls of football clay and develop into really good players. This is where Spielman and Zim deserve credit for working well together, because somebody finds these guys and signs them after being undrafted. And then somebody else takes them and says, oh, yeah. Your skill set is this. Eric Wilson, bravo. And he's also another classic case of why you didn't need to re-sign Anthony Barr.
I think it's hard to find a team in the NFL that's hit on more like big-time undrafted. I mean, John Randall was undrafted. Adam Thielen was undrafted. Think about some of the undrafted gems over the last, 30 years the Vikings have uncovered. So that's a good one. Declan, what's your first one?
Yeah, I like that. Kirk Cousins is starting to spread the football out a little bit more. And I know we've been making a big case that Justin Jefferson needs to get more targets. I'm all for that. I get that as well. But you know what? He's starting to dink it out a little bit more to Irv Smith. He's finding Kyle Rudolph. He's not honing in on Adam Thielen every single time like he was earlier this year. I think it's a positive sign that he's actually looking away and looking at other playmakers to step things up. Because when he's keying in on a guy like Adam Thielen, look, we all know how good of a receiver he is. But he can't just be his normal security blanket. So when Irv Smith gets a couple touchdown passes, I know it's just the 2 catches, but there is something there. So I like that the wealth is starting to get spread out for the Vikings on offense.
I like that Irv Smith caught 2 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to envision a world in which Irv Smith is just the full-on starting tight end and gets targeted. You know, is he the type of guy? Could he be a tier 2? I'm not putting him up in the Travis Kelce, George Kittle level,
but he
could be a tier 2 tight end, don't you guys think?
Absolutely. Great hands.
I think if the Vikings beat the Bears, I think they're a playoff team. I think we've seen some weakness with some of the other teams you would have thought a few weeks ago, too, that had like clear paths to the playoffs. The NFC West is getting a little bit more muddled. There was a minute there in the NFC West where you thought all four of those teams are going. Well, Arizona's shown a few holes, and San Francisco just has injuries and quarterback problems. And so I think 8-8 might get you that seventh spot. There's a chance with COVID outbreaks that they might add an eighth playoff team. So if you beat the Bears,
yeah.
My first purple positivity is I think you go to the postseason.
Where you make a playoff run, an incredible run to the Super Bowl. Never mind.
Hey, listen, team that nobody wants to face is the team that can run right. it down your throat. I would say the team that gets after the quarterback, but I don't know. Like the Vikings haven't found that formula yet. I know our Correct. Friend Collar at Purple Insider speculated today on if they beat Chicago, are they going to regret trading Yannick Ngakoue this season? I still say no. You should be planning for the future, but
I have questions about him, not his statistics, but how that didn't work out so quickly. I have questions about that one.
About
Ngakoue and why it didn't work out so quickly and how he was accepted or how he took his role and his skill set.
But there may have been more to
I think there
the
might
trade.
Have been a lot of behind-the-scenes misjudgments made. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
I think certain people might have misjudged because this is not fantasy football. You don't just go out and trade for a guy. Oh, man, wait, look at who we got. Look at the statistics. You actually go out and get people. So anyway,
sure.
Justin Jefferson, I'll start this out with not a negative, but it's not the most positive. But then I'm going to get into the positive of what I'm about to read, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Justin Jefferson has 6 catches for 90 yards in the past 2 games. But get this one. Jefferson's 627 receiving yards leads all rookies in the National Football League in 2020. And his receiving yardage currently, despite back-to-back games in which he certainly didn't go crazy, is the most ever for a Vikings rookie through the team's first 8 games, edging Randy Moss's 593 yards at this same point in 1998.
Back to Purple Daily in a moment. Quick thank you to Federated Mutual Insurance Company. They've been helping keep the lights on here at Score North and Purple Daily for several months during a tough year. And they've been helping with business owners, whether it's during a pandemic year or any other year, for over 100 years. You can follow Federated on Twitter, at Federated INS, for fresh, relevant risk management content on a variety of topics. And if you go to the website, federatedinsurance.com, it'll tell you just a full list of all the industries that Federated protects. So again, federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated Insurance, it's always our business to protect yours.
That is absolutely incredible. And I guess my question is, if you empowered and trusted your quarterback more, and I get why you don't, but if you could, what would those statistics be?
So, all right, the Randy Moss comparisons, I've been a little hesitant, because you brought up a few good ones this season statistically, and Justin Jefferson absolutely looks like a star. But Randy Moss wasn't just a star. He was the best receiver of a generation, the second best receiver of all time statistically in a lot of ways. Some people might even say that at his peak he was better than Jerry Rice, but just didn't have the championship and the same structure that Rice had in San Francisco. So when I hear Randy Moss comparisons, I'm like, yeah, I mean, maybe it's more of a passing league now than it was then. If Randy Moss was in the NFL today, he'd put up even more gaudy numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think where I try to sort of bring that comparison back to earth a little bit is, does Justin Jefferson have a chance to be the best wide receiver in the NFL in like 2 or 3 years? I think he does. And I think the guys he's going to compete for in that category are Stephon Diggs, now that Diggs is getting targeted. I think DK Metcalf has sort of arrived on the scene. And some of the other guys that are going to be in that mix, like DeAndre Hopkins, is going to be probably he'll be in his 30s by the time. I think there's a real chance that if we're talking a 5-year window, that we're talking about the like widely regarded one of the top 2 or 3 wide receivers in the NFL in Justin Jefferson very soon.
But I mean, these statistics that he's posting with some great games, but certainly not week after week, and it's not his fault, are fantastic. I do have a quick question for both of you, though. What would have happened, and it's a positivity for the Vikings, it did not. What would have happened if the Packers had the foresight and been proactive enough to trade up to get this kid? Can you imagine Adams and Justin Jefferson at the disposal of Aaron Rodgers?
The Packers are so stupid. Like, you have like 2 years left of Aaron Rodgers, and you draft a quarterback in the first round. Well, we got to plan for the future. No, you don't.
Not
like,
necessarily.
Go win a Super Bowl, you idiots.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. Well, it's the prudent thing to do. oh, like there's not going to be quarterbacks available in 2 years. Plus, a lot of these guys that come out in the first round now, like they act like, well, we got to draft a guy and he's got to develop for 3 years. It's like, have you watched Justin Herbert? A lot of these guys are coming in the league and they're just amazing right out of the gate. It's so stupid that they drafted a quarterback, especially when looking at the season.
Justin Jefferson catches every pass that one guy for the Packers dropped against the Vikings.
Yeah.
And the Packers win that game.
Easily.
You're talking about Scantling,
No, it was somebody else. It wasn't Marquez Valdes-Scantling. It was somebody else. And he dropped that perfect pass that was a tough catch, and then he dropped, I think, a pass in the end zone.
Yes, that's true.
And they were tough plays, but Justin Jefferson, make no mistake, catches those balls.
All right. ESPN's FPI. You know what the Football Power Index is? It's a measure of a team's strength that
is meant to be the
best predictor of a team's performance going forward for the rest of the season. FPI represents how many points above or below average a team is. So we're through 8-9 games now. The Minnesota Vikings are actually 11th in ESPN's FPI, a 3-5 team, ahead of such teams as the Buffalo Bills, the Tennessee Titans, the Colts, the Raiders, the Dolphins. They are the only, actually there's one other team that's, the Niners are also under 500, but they are knocking on the door of technically being a top 10 team. It's just some bad luck and some other things that have happened to them that suggest that their record should be better than what it is. So they are 11th right now in FPI.
That's the same story that Pro Football Focus tells as well, is that the Vikings are the 12th best team in the NFL. San Francisco is the other sub-500 team that's in this mix. They have San Francisco as the 10th best team in the NFL. But they've got the Vikings right there. Forget about record, just in terms of like how they've played, how they've graded. They've lost a couple really close games. They got the Vikings right there with the Bills and the Ravens between 11th and 13th.
So, interesting. How's that done?
Well, Pro Football Focus is like just taking all of their grades of all of the plays, everything that they've watched without the final score in the mix, just all of their grades compiled.
Okay.
And their rankings go like this: Seattle number one, Tampa Bay number two, the Saints three, Titans, Colts, Packers, Chiefs. They've got the Chiefs at seven. Basically, what that says about the Chiefs is that they are really, really bad at run defense. Overall, they have a mediocre defense, and they've played some weak teams, I think, is what this would say. Now, does this mean that like the Chiefs couldn't get better and like climb their grades? Does it mean that they're not going to be a Super Bowl contender? Like, obviously, they are a Super Bowl contender. But it's telling you that the Vikings are grading out better than their record, and that if they keep playing this way, more wins are going to come.
Okay.
So,
Fair enough.
Boom. I got two more quick for you guys here.
Okay.
Number one, Riley Reiff. This might actually be more of a bad thing, because like he's a free agent, most likely. They're probably going to cut him next year, and they didn't get anything for him at the trade deadline.
Yep.
But Riley Reiff, among offensive tackles who have played at least 200 snaps this year, has allowed the fifth least amount of pressures. That's pretty damn good. That's of all left and right tackles.
That's good news.
He's maybe having the best year of his career at left tackle. And he's probably going to be gone because he makes too much money. And Ezra Cleveland is knocking on the door.
That's fine, though. Man, sounds like a guy who probably would have been tradable.
Could have been.
I mean, that's just me.
Or could help you road grade your way to a playoff appearance.
To Tampa?
We'll see what happens.
Hey, you held him to 20 points, man. Yes, you gave us a chance at the end, but I got three words for you. You like that?
Yeah! Morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. Pretty woman walking down the street. Pretty woman. They kind of like to meet. Pretty woman. I said, whoa, pretty woman.
Purple positivity.
That's my quarterback.
Kirk
That's
Cousins
my quarterback.
Sings like an angel.
Man.
What can't this guy do? He hands off to Dalvin Cook. He beats up on the Lions at noon on a Sunday, and he sings Pretty Woman just like Roy Orbison.
What more do you guys want? Low voice, fantastic voice. Yeah, no question about it.
What more do you guys want? That's my purple positivity.
I'm telling you, Grease Lightning at TCO Performance Center starring Kyle Rudolph, Adam Thielen, and Kirk Cousins. You'll sell tickets as soon as the pandemic is done.
Yellow gloves. Jazz hands and yellow gloves.
It can be a combination of the play and football. They can throw
stop
a football
throwing,
around.
Oh, stop throwing.
It could be the football Grease Lightning. Declan, he's got it.
I hope that clip, by the way, a hat tip to 10,000 takes on Twitter for digging that clip up. Maybe somebody else did. That's where I saw it first. I hope that clip is making the rounds in the locker room. And I hope that these mean, big, nasty football players are paying proper respect to us fellow band and choir nerds in high school, okay?
You know what they say, Phil? Just don't derail the football game, okay? That's what they say to the band nerds. Don't derail the football game, Kirk. Hand the ball to 33, you'll be fine.
I thought that the pep band was enhancing the energy of the football game, okay? Making it more intimidating for opponents
to
climb
into
the red zone.
I hate bands. You know why? Because they play at halftime, which means halftime is too long. The fundamental problem with college football starts with the damn band.
Yeah,
get them off
agree.
The field, and let's get it down to 12
Although,
minutes
the choreography,
tops.
They're spelling things out.
Have them go play in the street. Just don't have them play on my football field. I want to get the players back on the field. I don't want the marching band to refuse to yield.
Although, have you ever seen Drumline, Judd Zolgad?
It's a great
Nick
movie.
Nick Cannon? Maybe that should be added to the Action We Rewind somehow.
Why don't you
actually?
Hey, Declan, why don't you shut up? It's one of the worst ideas I've ever heard.
Drumline is
a great
bad movie.
I have to watch it. If it's on TV, I have to watch it.
Pineapple Express, I embraced, I enjoyed. I'll talk about it tomorrow, but if you make me watch Drumline, I will kill you.
I feel like we need a loophole.
And that is a threat.
Mm-hmm.
A loophole in Action Movie Rewind on Mackie and Judd.
We got a loophole.
That allows us movies like Drumline. We need like a wild card week where you can pick any movie, any genre.
Bad Movie Rewind.
Oh, if that's the case, I got some ideas, yeah.
Bad Movie Rewind. All right.
And yes, I did threaten Declan's life. If I have to watch Drumline, I threaten his life.
Well, that's a wrap on this episode of Purple Daily. We'll see you guys
morning,
tomorrow.
Morning, oh, what a beautiful day.